We can talk about what happened, you know, the past couple of days. You
want to
talk
about that? Yeah, no shooting competition. Oh, we did with you and J Mike and yeah.
I think we 8-0'd y'all? 8-0. How many games did we win? Because we played four spots. Did we do it twice or just once each spot?
What's y'all favorite hobbies and stuff like that? What's up, Rutgers Nation? Welcome to the first, you know, Knighthood podcast. You know, we got a lot of new teammates, and we're excited for this offseason. You know, we've got the three-point sniper, PJ Hayes, here, all the way from San Diego. And, you know, we got Big Manny here with us also. So, you know, looking forward to this episode. Should be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Thanks for having us.
Of course.
Appreciate you for having me.
So, growing up in Minnesota, is Wolves basketball kind of like a big thing? Or
I mean, when KG was there, it was. Yeah. When KG left, it just kind of died. There was a little hype around, like, Wiggins and Cat.
But what about Zach LaVine?
I mean, even, like, you know, it's great when you have a guy that can win dunk contests, but what does that mean? You know, like, no one really cares about dunk contests. So, I remember going to a game. I don't know. Maybe it was the second or third dunk contest, or maybe it was the second dunk contest he won, and they had him, like, plastered all over, like, dunk contest champ. And I was like, well, we've won, like, 20 games this year, guys. I don't know why we're celebrating all this stuff, but, you know.
Dunk contest fake tough, though. I mean,
it is tough.
All-star now, too, right? Or whatever. He doesn't want to be on the Bulls, so.
Yeah.
We get him up out of here soon, hopefully.
Now, Minnesota basketball's been tough, but now we're finally starting to, you know, figure it out. Cat's kind of understanding his role a little bit. The problem is now they got to pay him. Yeah. So I don't know what they're going to do with that, if they're going to let him go or.
Is he a free agent this year?
Who, Cotton?
Yeah.
I think they're going to let him go.
I mean, that's a big contract, but I don't know. That's a tough guy to lose. Like, who's going to replace him in the league? Yeah.
Let him go and get who? Who would you like and the Timberwolves to get?
He's part of the franchise. I think they should get Joel Embiid.
Is that your favorite player, E?
I mean, yeah. So my favorite player is actually Giannis, right? But while watching basketball, I watched most of Joel Embiid's college highlights, like basketball, like he was really like, I mean, his offense just really came in like in the NBA, like pretty much, you understand what I'm saying? Like he was more of a defensive guy, like block shots and stuff like that. So yeah, try to emulate my game after Joel Embiid. And then I like the energy of Giannis, like he always have that energy going and everything like that. So that's why I just, and I also liked Westbrook. Old coming out of high school, bro, like Westbrook, bro. It's a vibe watching Westbrook, you know what I mean, bro? He be dunking, like, the point guard that dunk on big man, like, and stuff like that. Rudy Gobert was one of them. So, I mean, you understand what I'm saying? So, like, yeah, Westbrook made me fall in love with basketball, like, you know what I'm saying? And
taking it back, I heard you say Westbrook made you fall in love with basketball, and both of you guys got unique stories and came from different backgrounds and different paths. So when did you kind of, like, fall in love with basketball and just talk about your journey a little bit.
Yeah, I fell in love with basketball. It's funny how, like, all through my life, right, because growing up in Nigeria, the, like, I think I would say the national sport there is football. You guys call it soccer. Yeah, but it's football. I'm just going to stick with football. But, you know, I'm not American football, though. Yeah, but, yeah. So, so I've been playing soccer, right, and then my uncle, right, he's like, so they like, my family, like, from my dad's side, while growing up, they played basketball.
Right.
So they were into basketball and everything. And now they have a son growing up, and he's, like, tall. He has the basketball, like, physique and all of that and stuff like that. And he loves football, soccer. So they were talking to my dad, tell him to, like, play basketball and stuff like that. My dad was like, nah, he should focus on his books, studies. He doesn't even want me to play sport at all. And the fact that I'm even playing soccer, he doesn't even like it.
What age is this?
This was when I was like 12, like,
still
in pretty much in middle school and stuff like that.
Right.
Because I was tall, when I was in middle school, I was like 6'3", bro.
6'3".
I'm telling you, bro. Like,
I'm 6'3" now.
I'm telling you. Like, I was already taller than my dad in, when I was at 11, I was already taller than my dad.
Right.
You know, you see.
So, I see what you say.
Yeah. So, and I was like the second tallest person in the school. You get what I'm saying, right? Yeah. Like in the whole school.
Second tallest. Who's the first tallest?
The first tallest is. Let me not say much about that. Yeah. But yeah, so I was playing soccer, and then I grew up, and then so I started playing when I like finished high school. Went to high school, still playing. I was a goalie, like a goalkeeper, and I think I was the best in the school. Like we used to go for competition and all. Like so, it's crazy, and everyone just been knowing me because of that and stuff. So they thought I was gonna go professional with like being a goalkeeper and everything. Then I finished high school, and the monk was like, "Nah, you have to like play basketball, bro. You can't play soccer."
Okay.
I was like, "All right." Since I love like just playing, like having fun and everything, I was like, "Let me give it a try." Like, and I've never watched basketball before, bro.
Right.
Never like. And then I was like, sometimes when I turn on the channel and I see basketball, I'm like, what are these guys doing? How do you play ball with hands? Like, why would you use your hands? You're supposed to use your feet. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And I was like, damn. And then I went to this basketball academy, and the coach was like, take this ball and dunk it. And then I went, I just jumped and I put it in. And everyone was like, damn. Like, and I was like, what did I even do? Like, I don't even understand what that means. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then that's how I like. And that, meanwhile, the first time I touched basketball, I was 17. Mm-hmm. That was the first time. And then I started enrolling, started playing fully at 18 and stuff like that. And everything just started coming in. I'm like, damn, this sport is actually interesting. And they were like, I tried to watch some videos and stuff. And then I started watching. And then I saw Westbrook.
Westbrook, yeah.
I was like, what? Like, it was just, bro. I was like, damn, this is crazy, bro. Yeah, this type of vibes and everything like that. And then that's how I started, like, people started recording me and started having videos and stuff like that, and then started going, and then coaches out there started saying, like, nah, this guy's natural, and he's like, he'll be good. People were like, you might not really have a chance, like, cause of your age and the time you started, but and stuff like that, but I just thank God, like, I got to, like, have the opportunity and the chance, and then I finally, like, got here. I'm here right now.
What you think you better at, soccer or football or basketball?
Yeah, I think I'm better at I think I'm better at basketball now, because basketball is easier for me.
Yeah.
It's easier to do a lot of things now, you know. Though you have to like their positions, like, you can't really, I can't say I want to be a point guard, you understand? Everyone be like, what, okay, you understand what I'm saying? So you stick to your position, like, so right. I stick to what I can do, like, you understand, my strength, right, and everything like that. Yeah, so yeah. So sticking to my strength, like my position and all, yeah, for sure basketball, I'm better at basketball.
Okay, cool. What about you, PJ? You came from?
Well, I'm from a small-ish town in Minnesota. It's like 30 minutes from Minneapolis, so it's near like the Twin Cities area. But
what's the name of the town? I've been around Minnesota.
Waconia, Minnesota.
Oh, never mind.
Another bigger towns near us are called like Chaska and Chanhassen.
I've heard of Chanhassen.
Like Minnetonka.
Minnetonka.
A lot of like cat lives on the lake there, Minnetonka. So we're about 20 minutes from there. So it's not like a tiny town, but it's not, you know, anything crazy. So, you know, I actually played for my dad. He was my head coach. I played 4 years for him. It was definitely a great experience, but a little tough. He wouldn't like baby me or anything like that. It was honestly harder for me. Mm-hmm. He was way harder on me than any other player he ever coached, which was honestly probably, you know, a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, now coaches I play for, it's not as like, it's like my dad would crush me way harder than any of these guys. So it's not as, you know, getting yelled at, you know, getting disciplined, all that stuff. It's like, I've been through a harder thing. Mm-hmm. So now that I have that under my belt, it's like, oh, this is fine. So like, I did that 4 years. I was pretty good. Problem was COVID hit my senior year, and I didn't have a ton. I had a few D2 offers, nothing crazy.
What year did you graduate high school?
2020.
2020, okay, cool.
So 2019, 2020.
Yeah.
And it was way tougher than I thought it was going to be. We had a bunch of like all-star games, some camps I was going to play in, some stuff that probably going to give me more exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that stuff all got canceled, so I was kind of out of luck. I got on this, like, my dad had a bunch of, like, tape of me, and he was posting on all these sites, and, like, he paid for some, like, subscription to, like, send my tape out to people.
Yeah.
And then, actually, Black Hill State, the school I was at before San Diego, Coach Thompson saw my, you know, tape and was like, hey, I'm interested in you. Like, where are you at? And I'm like, I have nothing. Like, I have like two offers, and you know, there are 2-3 offers, and the rest is all like, eh, I don't really know. Right. And then, you know, he's like, I think we talked after like two, three days, he offered me a full scholarship, and I was like, okay, I got to do this. Because they had just won the regular season tournament, or regular season champs that year, the year before. So I was like, I want to play for a team that wins. I want to play for a team that, you know, competes. And, you know, I go there. I had a little rough with COVID. We didn't do, like, terrible. We didn't do that great. I actually was sick for 3 weeks, like, middle of the season. Missed, like, I don't know, like 5-6 games or 4-5 games, something like that. So, like, I started playing. Didn't really play because of the COVID stuff. And then I was only brought in to shoot threes at the end of the game. That was all I could do. So, like, he was literally, like, I would sit on the bench, get cold. Just my knees would be just frozen. And then he'd be like, all right, PJ, go make the game-tying, game-winning shot. And I'd be like, oh, my God, are you serious? Crazy. So I did actually hit one game-winning or game-tying shot, but they called it an illegal screen on the guy that set the screen for
also
me.
Didn't,
so they canceled it, and then we lost. And that was the last game of the season, actually, because we lost in the, what was it, the semifinals of the conference tournament. And then, so then that happened. But, you know, the next year we came back. We had a kid, Joel Scott. He played at Colorado State this year. Okay. Now's going to be a pro overseas. He's an All-American, like one of the best players I've ever played with.
Okay, cool.
He just had an unreal year. He won Player of the Year that year. We won the regular season champs that year. We won the conference tournament that year. And then we went to the Final Four. And then I had a pretty good role in that team. I was kind of coming off the bench, six-man type deal, mm-hmm. just shooting the ball. And then the next year, we had a crazy start. We were like 13-14-0. You know, like we were top 10 in the nation, top 5 in the nation. And then we just kind of hit like a little streak where we had some team troubles and lost a few games that we should have won. Yeah. Didn't win the regular season. Lost in the semifinals of the conference tournament. And then we were like, oh, our season's done. Got no chance. But luckily, since we were ranked so high, we got a bid in the regional tournament, and then we just took care of business. We beat two or three of our conference teams that beat us in the regular season pretty good. And then we took care of business in the final game. Actually, it was hosted at West Texas, which was the team we played in the championship, so it was packed. It was a crazy, like, atmosphere. We got a lucky, like, one of our best defenders, barely, like, he contested the ball so well that the guy had to hold it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
And the clock, like, ran out right as he let go of it, but he made it. So, like, if we didn't have such good a good defender on him, he would have just – he would have sent us home. We would have been, right. You know, destroyed. But, you know, we make it back to the lead eight again, win that one, and then lose in the final four again. So, it was a great, you know, experience at D2, and I thought, hey, I did pretty well. I shot, like, 45% from three. I was like, I can play at the next level. Right. Made the jump. Got to San Diego, played for Coach Lavin, met a bunch of great guys, had a pretty good year. We were projected to go, like, dead last in the conference. Like, we were supposed to not win any games. And then, you know, we finished fifth in a really good WCC conference with Gonzaga St. Mary's. And, you know, we had a pretty good year. And I was like, hey, I want to win some more games. I want to play at an even higher level. And, you know, I think I picked a team that has a really good opportunity to do that. And you know, I'm not competing for, you know, winning games. I'm competing to win championships. So that's, you know, kind of how I got here and why I'm here. So,
kind of a 2-on-1 question for you guys is, like, both of you guys had a lot of decisions to make. So how did you guys kind of go about making those decisions? And I mean, you played basketball in a whole different country starting off, and of course, you kind of came from a different level in Division II. What's, like, the biggest difference maybe in, you know, you playing in a whole different country, of course, and then you making the jump from Division II to Division I?
Yeah, that's a good question. Because coming here now and looking at the way basketball is being run in the U.S. here, I would say it's on a whole other level, you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And in Nigeria, I don't even think it's basketball we're playing there because everyone's just freestyling.
Freestyle, street ball.
I don't think there's really, really, like, plays like that that you have to study films. You have to, like, evaluate and stuff like that. You understand? Mm-hmm. So, like, I mean, you in the U.S., you guys already started doing it right from high school. Like, they've already started building you in the right path, like, to being a professional and everything like that. In Nigeria, it's not like that, bro. we play basketball on the streets, just like the way we play football on the streets. You understand? So I came here, I was like, oh. So you know, I can, you know, you guys already know, like, JUCO. Like, mm-hmm. even the JUCO, too, like, bro. And then you guys have, like, so much, like, there are levels to, like, almost everything. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's in JUCO. You have so there's high school, there's JUCO, there's college, prep, all of that.
All of it, yeah.
You understand?
A million ways.
So and let me start with JUCO. In JUCO now we have D1, D2, D3. Yeah. In NCAA, like college, you have D1, D2, D3. You understand? And so there's so much levels to all these things in how basketball has been run in the US. So coming into like JUCO, D1 JUCO, like, yeah, and that's big time, you understand? That's big. So that's big for me because I'm coming from Nigeria, bro, you understand what I'm saying? And so I came and I'm like, okay, let's see how it goes, bro. My first game and everything, I'm like, bro, damn, these guys are fast, like. like what? Bro, I run, bump, 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 back, and they talk like, in Nigeria, no one even, like, you just do your thing, bro. No one cares about whatever you do, but this one, bro. And defense is a big thing. Like, you have to play defense. Like, you have to, like...
In Nigeria, you say defense is a big thing?
No, here, bro. Oh, okay. Defense is really big. Like, you study defense. Like, you understand? Yeah. Like, do we know what is help? It's no help defense, bro. You understand, bro?
No help.
But, yeah, we're taught, like, help position-wise, how to, like, rotate in defense and everything like that.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying, right? So I had to learn... defense, how to learn how to, like, time for block shot and everything like that, you understand?
Yeah.
How to contest and alter shots. That is necessary in basketball. Just like you said, he contested, like, altered the shot a little bit and then time pause and everything like that, you understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So everything, and basketball is really, like, it's actually really fun. Yeah, you understand? Yeah. And everything, like, we get to, like, travel. You don't be traveling for nothing, like, in Nigeria. Like, except, yeah, we travel, though, like, but except we're going for a different competition, like, do you understand? But yeah, playing basketball in the US is actually entirely different. It's fun. People in Nigeria will be like, "Nah, I can come here and do what these guys are doing, what you guys are doing here." You understand? They'll be like, "We can come in here and, like, dunk, like, the ball and do this." But nah, it's not that easy, bro. The work you have to put in. So we, like, during the summer, preparing for, like, this is right in JUCO, not even, like, here. Preparing for, like, during the summer, preparing for, like, yeah, you know, the season and all, right? They had us running, like, miles, like, 4 miles, bro. I ran every single day for a whole month.
And
you just JUCO, bro. So I was like, I ran. My legs were burning. And summer, like, so it's hot, right? You understand? It's hot. I was like, so I was running. My legs were burning. We were running. And so the coach, there's a place where he stays and he watches, like, how many laps, and he counts the laps, number of laps, like, right? And so we're running. I was running, bro. I was kind of like either in middle or close to the last people, like, you understand, on, like, running. For sure, I have to be, like, among the last. But we're running, right? And my legs, like, let's say I run, like, so you have to run, like, 12 laps. And the 12 laps, that's, like, 4 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in my, like, let's say, 8, and my legs were already burning, bro. I was, and then I saw the coach. I was like, "Coach, my legs are burning." I don't think I can. Like, he was, "Keep on, like, go on, come on."
Yeah.
I was like, "Coach," he said, "bro," and I kept running, bro. I was having muscle pull, like, everything, bro. Like, I was just like, damn, I had to, like, push myself and everything. And we kept doing that. And after the lap, like, after the running, right, we still would go, like, run suicide on the court, practice and everything. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was, I was like, so this is what I really signed up for. Like,
that's what you came here for?
Yeah, I'm like, damn. And then I had to, like, but I mean, I thank God for that because that really, like, built me and everything like that. I knew, like, yeah, it's straight up business, like, when it comes to basketball in the US. So you have to be ready for it.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. I think I've spoken a lot.
Now, what made you choose Rutgers, though? That's what I was curious
about. Oh, okay. So, so we started practicing and everything. And, you know, basketball is a small world. You understand? I don't know if you guys have heard it, like,
basketball. Everyone knows everybody, for real.
You understand? Exactly. So I came and started, like, practicing. I was dunking like crazy. Like, in practice, I'd be, like, breaking, like, the rim, like, the down and everything. I had to tell them to stop dunking and everything like that. During practice, you can only dunk during games and stuff. I'm like, what kind of thing is that?
So they're trying to work on
but
it.
But they don't want
to
be fixing the rims every time. I'm, you understand? Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So the calls went out. They were like, oh, there's this guy that's at Monroe. Like, come check out this guy and stuff like that, right? And coaches be coming. At least the first coach that came in was coach from Oklahoma. University of Oklahoma, or I don't know, OSU, I think, yes, came, saw me and everything. I was like, where are you from? Like, this and that. I like you, the way you play. I like your stuff like that. You think you can play in this level and stuff like that. So I already started getting interest, right? Yeah. And then before you know, different coaches started coming to my practices and stuff like that, coming to the games to watch. Seeing Hall came, Rutgers came, Kansas came, St. Bonaventure, different schools.
I know Kansas had you hype. You was watching that Joel Embiid, you know, that film?
Yeah.
You have, like, a top three? You know how everybody be having, like, a top eight, top five.
For sure, yeah. So, I had, funny enough, I had Rutgers as my, like, top one, even. Mm-hmm. Rutgers, then Kansas, because I prefer to, like, go play in, like, I want to go to a place right? They promise you a lot of stuff. Like, I don't want to say, they promise you so many things, right? You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you go out there, it's not really like that. Do you understand? Yeah. You understand? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
But Rutgers is like they tell you what they really want you for and stuff like that. You understand? Mm-hmm. And they showed me. So they had Cliff then, and they showed me how they use Cliff and everything like that. And it was cool. You understand?
Yeah.
Other schools, I don't know their big man like that. I don't know how they really use their bigs and stuff like that. So I had, according to how I want to play, according to, like, what I'm looking at and stuff like that. Right. So that's why I had Rutgers, like, top there, you understand? Because you have to, like, you want to play professional, you understand? You want to be seen out there. You want to, like, you want to play in a school where they can use you well and stuff like that, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And pretty much use Cleve very well, you understand? Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I wanted it to be like that. And so I was looking at Rutgers, and I was looking at Kansas, and then Seton Hall, those schools had what they tell you that they're going to use their bigs for and stuff like that. But they might say it that way though, but we're looking at the way they play, and most of their shit is run through their guards, bro. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And they don't even really be using the bigs like that and stuff. You get what I'm saying? So you wouldn't really want to go to a school like that. Mm-hmm. You get, but you can't, but it might change. You get. So, and then had injury last game, the last final game at Monroe, right? Mm-hmm. I got up to get a rebound and then I had injury, boom. Mm-hmm. I got an injury. I'm like, okay, let me just, I fell down, right? It was an injury. I was like, I mean, it's an injury. Let me just try, like, play through it. So now, you know, you grew up in Chicago, right?
Right.
Exactly. And only you're from Chicago. So I want to know how your experience was like growing up in Chicago. Because everyone, like, Chicago, and, you know.
Yeah, like the violence and all that stuff. I mean.
So how do you, like, growing up there, your basketball, how you got to, like.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think my family and, like, everyone, like, my family knows how bad, you know, Chicago can get, and it's just, like, who you surround yourself with. I feel like the media definitely pushed Chicago and the violence and stuff like that, so it may seem worse than other places, although it is easy to get involved in violence, gangs, and stuff like that. But, like, my parents did a good job of shielding me and stuff like that. I mean, from day one, I didn't care about anything but basketball, so I grew up going to the park. I lived 10 minutes from a park, dribble there, go there with my dad. He used to play there all the time. And, I mean, him playing there all the time, I'd just be there. So I kind of grew up as, like, the young one at the park and stuff like that. Then as I grew older, the park was still – everyone was still going to the park for the most part. I'm still going there. Yeah. So I kind of had, like, a safe haven, I guess, a place to kind of get away from all that. And, I mean, violence can make its way to the park, but it's less likely. I mean, a lot of people, they go into the park, they go into the park. A lot of people do their own thing other places, and I think I just stayed away from that. I mean, as far as the violence, though, I mean, I think there was a time in Chicago where the violence was real bad, like the whole drill era, the whole, like when, I mean, I don't want to put it on certain rappers, but like when Chief Keef was getting big and G Herbo, L.A. Capone, people like that, they definitely influenced a lot of stuff in the city. But I mean, as long as you just stayed focused, I guess, and stayed out the way, my mom did not play that. Like, there was like a little street everybody used to go to and hang out, and a whole bunch of stuff used to happen. She was, dude, I used to have to, if I was going over there, I have to sneak to go over there because she was not playing that.
You went to high school, yes, too?
Yeah, I mean, my first 3 years, I went to a high school like about an hour, hour and a half away. I used to take two buses and two trains to get there, or three buses and a train. Whatever the case may be, my mom wanted to send me kind of as far as possible. And it was an all-boys school the first year, so she liked the idea of that. But then the second year, I went to co-ed, so it was whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Shout out St. Lawrence. I went there for 3 years, and then I did my last year at Simeon Career Academy, which is like, it's the best public school in Chicago for basketball.
Nice.
Derrick Rose, Kendrick Nunn, Taylor Horton Tucker, Nick Anderson, Jabari Parker, like Benji Wilson, like the list go on and on and on. We probably got the most NBA players in Chicago for that institute. But went there for my last year just because of how well known the program is. The best head coach to ever coach in Illinois, Rob Smith, was my head coach, and I was blessed to play for him and, you know, develop a relationship with him. Won a city championship there. My high school experience. That high school is kind of like in a unstable neighborhood, I guess is the way to put it. I mean, no, violence occurs in that neighborhood too, but it's also a basketball powerhouse, and they kind of, the community kind of shields around, you know, the basketball players for the most part, you know?
Yeah. So for a lot of people who don't really know you, like, you've been to, like, I think three different colleges, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's my third one.
Yeah, so, like, how have your experiences, like, being in all those, like, schools you've been to?
My experience has been cool. Like, I mean, like you said, the COVID year was my first
year. Temple,
I was at
Iowa State, now Rutgers.
Exactly, Temple, my first 2 years. Iowa State for a year and then here. But Temple, my first 2 years was great. I got the opportunity to play under NBA player, Coach Aaron McKee, and he gave me, you know, a lot of freedom to, you know, I played the point guard position, and I played like the four or five in high school.
Damn.
And then I was able to play the point guard position in college, which that's what I always wanted to do. My dad played point guard in college, so that's why I kind of jumped on that opportunity at Temple. But got to start at the point guard position there 2 years. Was pretty homesick, really, and I just kind of didn't understand how stuff went. Now I understand that it really doesn't matter how far away you are from home. You kind of got a job to do or whatever the case is. But was homesick, had a good year, and the portal started to become a thing, kind of, to be honest. So kind of jumped in there. Wanted to get closer to home for sure was the goal. Yep. Went to Iowa State, which was closer to home, but it's still like a five-and-a-half-hour drive, which is, you still need 10. Like, you can't make that in a day and then, like, whatever. So kind of went there. Did not like my experience out there. Tore my Achilles in October 6th, I think I tore my Achilles.
Yeah.
Had to go through that whole process, sitting out the whole basketball season, watching them play. Like, that was, I've never not played basketball for 2 weeks. Like, I've broken my hand, I'll play with my left hand or something like that, but, like, you actually can't walk with a torn Achilles. You can't do anything. Like, that's the worst experience ever. You ran on the scooter watching people practice for, like, 2.5 hours. I don't even.
You were on the bike, too, weren't
you? Yeah, I was on the
bike. You couldn't even chill. You had to ride the bike.
I was on the, exactly.
Had to go to the games, too.
Got to go to the games, sit there and watch. I mean, even though we got a dose of that this year, I was kind of used to it by then. But, like, it was just something totally different in the middle of nowhere in Ames, Iowa, which is not nowhere you want to be. I mean, you know, they have a good community and they love their team and stuff like that, which is cool. But it's nowhere you want to live at, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, just going through that and then went through some other stuff and got blessed with the opportunity to play here and get back on the East Coast. I was familiar with Rutgers being at Temple, and with Temple not being that far, I've been up here a couple of times. But they had some great teams while I was at Temple and stuff like that. So, but, you know, asked the people I knew on the East Coast about Rutgers and Coach Peichel, talked very highly of him, and it's been nothing but true since I've been here. So, yeah. You know, that relationship has kind of taken off, and I'm blessed to end up here, honestly. I mean, after being a couple of different places trying to figure out what I want, what I'm looking for, and how I envision things to be, like, Rutgers is everything you kind of want. I mean, Pike says it all the time, you might go to a different school, you might like this, you might like that, but, like, here they really take care of you. They got a good coaching staff. I think, like, you know, people make where you're at. Nothing else makes where you're at. And so the people here make a, you know, a big difference.
Definitely.
Yeah. How about you, though, PJ? I mean, we all talked about our journeys.
Well, I guess when it comes to, like, the decision this year,
yeah.
You know, I had a pretty good year at San Diego. Shot the ball not as well as I'd like to, but I kind of screwed myself over a little bit. The last couple of games, I shot some trying to get us back in the game shots, which, you know, in the long run probably wasn't the best idea. You know, I shot some pretty crazy ones, but, you know, same thing with my free throw percentage. I shot that thing down. Mm-hmm. Just those Wilsons, I don't – those Wilsons are – they got – I don't know the NCAA's got to do about that, but we got to figure something out because those basketballs are the worst basketballs I've ever used in my life. But that's a little off topic. So,
right.
So I was blessed with, you know, an even better opportunity on a better team, with a better coaching staff, with better, you know, players in general. And it's like, you know, when I got this opportunity, I was like, how do I turn this down? Right. Every other school that came in, I was like, this is great. This is awesome. Like,
you had a top three?
Top three. I mean, a lot of it was, you know, I had a visit to VCU right after Rutgers. They were obviously been pretty good this, you know, past decade. They've always been really good. But, yeah. You know, I love the coaching staff, love all that stuff. But just, you know, when I came here, I could just tell, like, as soon as I came here, I was like, it doesn't really matter what the other schools got. It's like, it's going to be Rutgers. I told my dad that. I was like, Dad, I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be Rutgers. Like, I don't think these schools can offer me all this stuff. You know, obviously NIL is a little crazy nowadays. And, I just knew that Rutgers was going to be a spot, and I knew the potential that we had, and I was like, I want to be part of the team that, you know, makes Rutgers, you know, a top 25 program in the nation. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I think preseason ranking-wise, we're up there, we're top 20. So, like, I want to be a part of a program that, you know, turns a program that hasn't been necessarily a top 25 team in the nation, you know, in this recent, you know, time period, I guess. And I want to be one of the guys that, like, makes that a thing. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I believe in Coach Pikel. I believe in the program. I believe in all of y'all. So I think, you know, I made the best decision. Like, out of all the decisions I could have made, this is easily the best one. Like, yeah. I could not have made a better decision. So, you know, blessing to be here, obviously. But, I'm excited to – I know we've been talking about all these guys in the gym.
We don't start practice till Saturday, but, like, no one has missed a beat being in the gym. Like, guys are in two times a day. Guys are in, like everyone has been in the gym. The freshmen had, like, they don't get their physical, they get their physical, and they're in the gym voluntarily and all that. Like, so, I mean, it's just refreshing to see, like, everyone working on their craft. I don't want to say refreshing, but, like, it's a good sign, you know. Everyone's talking in workouts. Yeah, like, I think it's just a good sign, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Step one. I mean, we haven't seen much, but from what we have seen, I'm very excited for everyone. The freshmen, returners, new guys. I mean, I think that's, you know, that's step one, like, just people being in the gym and just creating that type of atmosphere, and that's much needed.
And especially after our workout yesterday.
Yeah.
I stayed behind because I noticed it was, like, you know, three freshmen. It was Lathan, DG, Dylan Grant, and then Bryce Dortch. And then, you know, I was like, I kind of want to see how these guys play. That's how I like to, like, get to know people, is I want to hoop with them. I want to, like, you know, work out with them. I still haven't worked out with Ace yet. I want to, you know, see how he – I saw him working out this morning. He looked pretty good. Mm-hmm. I know you guys played yesterday.
Yeah, open gym was nice.
Open
yesterday.
Gym. So
yeah.
You know, that's how I get to know guys. I like to work out with them and kind of get a feel how they, what they like, how they shoot, all that stuff. You know, being a shooter and all that.
Shooter. Do you want to talk about it or you want me to talk about it?
Talk what?
Whoa, who's the real shooter?
No, we ain't talking about none of
okay,
that.
We're not going to talk about it.
We don't have to talk about it.
We'll have another contest.
You caught me on a bad day. It was like my first day of the workout.
You got to get to somebody early, man.
We can talk about what happened, you know, the past couple of days. You want to talk about
that? Yeah, no shooting competition. Oh, we did with you and J Mike and yeah.
I think we 8-0'd y'all?
8-0.
How many games did we win? Because we played four spots. Did we do it twice or just once each spot?
What's y'all favorite hobbies and stuff like that? y'all got some stuff
me,
y'all like
I'm just
to
gonna
do
say me and J Mike 4-0'd Jeremiah and Jordan. in some shooting workouts, some shooting games. It was, you know, fun, competitive. Not as competitive as I wanted it to be. Me and J-Mike kind of washed them, but
I forgot about that. I walked into that.
You forgot. It's all right. It's all right.
You just copy it, bro.
It's okay. No. I got home, got on the game probably, played some MLB, washed that down. That's how I forgot about it probably. But
well, speaking of, you know, playing video games, what do y'all like to do? You know, I haven't really got an opportunity to see, you know,
let me know what you like to do.
Yeah.
I haven't really been doing much. I mean, besides when I left to took a little vacation and kind of got away, I get home from our little workouts and stuff like that, get in the boots, take a nap, play MLB, you know, chill, and then.
So MLB's your game? Are you playing any other games or what? What console? What console?
PS5. Okay, good. Warzone is annoying. 2K is trash this year.
Yep.
There ain't no other game really out right now. I'm really just waiting on college football and next matter.
You play Fortnite?
No, I don't play Fortnite. No,
Fortnite.
No. You are?
I said Warzone. Warzone is annoying. I prefer Warzone to Fortnite, actually. Mm-hmm. Because Warzone is more like, more realistic.
Realistic, yeah.
Fortnite, you just like catching crews.
Favorite TV show?
Okay, what do you like to watch?
I love to watch anime.
Anime, okay.
Yeah, are you guys into anime?
I am.
I don't know. Dragon Ball Z is the only, and Boondocks is the only anime. It's the only anime I'm on. All right. All
right, man, what's your favorite right now? Right now and then all time.
Anime. Right now, the anime, I would say the Finnish Attack on Titans, Attack on Titans was great. The storyline and everything. In fact, I feel like people who have watched Attack on Titans, right, should go watch it again.
Was that Teen Titans?
Watch it.
Yeah. What?
That's Teen Titans.
Attack on Titans.
Attack on Titans.
That was actually the first anime I've ever watched,
bro.
And like,
that's you need to go. You need to watch it for the second time, and then you understand like the storyline and like how like creative those guys were like in making that, bro. And then the thing is that people don't really know much about anime, right? They feel like you watch an anime like you bump, like, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, people that stigma, yeah.
Yeah, but, see, the storylines in anime, like, I've watched a lot of animes, and they come up with great storylines, like, better than movies, better than TV shows, like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, bro, it's really, really, like, fun and interesting, like, trying to, like, there are different types of anime, like, different ones you can, like, get into and stuff like that. So, yeah, Attack on Titans, Demon Slayer,
yeah. Like the new season coming out?
Yeah.
You caught up?
Bro, I'm locked in. Locked in on that.
Jujutsu Kaisen?
Jujutsu Kaisen.
It's one of my favorites, yeah.
You watch that too, right? Oh, yeah. I like the fact that you watch anime, bro.
I do, man.
I wouldn't have even told
you. We gotta get you on the I think Attack on Titan would be a perfect starter. It's nothing too crazy. It's a great storyline.
Yeah, but
it's
mean
action packed, so like he'll not get bored right away. It takes a little bit
to get
fun.
I feel like for you to like for a start, I'll recommend, and then you know, One Piece. Like I never recommend anyone to watch
it because of how too long many episodes
the anime is. But for a start, I think I'll go. An anime, One Punch Man. Would be a good anime for a start.
Naruto. The only thing with Naruto is it's super long, so you're gonna if you get to
a for point, a start, I don't think you start bored. Watching Naruto. You understand? Because you get bored. Same with
Avatar.
Avatar is a cool anime, yeah. You understand? Like, I mean, almost everyone watched Avatar, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this, I'm telling you, anime, like, you have to, like, and do you watch anime with as a dub, or you watch it with...
I watch it a sub, I don't like watching, like, the English version, I like watching with the subtitles.
Yeah, exactly, that's how I prefer to watch my anime, because how would they be, it's anime, bro, like, it's Japanese people who made it, you understand? And then you're listening to it in English.
Because it's anime not like etiquette. The reason I like it because it's like watching a movie with someone else like kind of talking over it. So you don't know like I like it because it's the actual expression that like the creators wanted. So like in English they can kind of take it's they're not going to be punished for taking a different take on some lines. Mm-hmm. Plus like translation wise it could be a little different. But I just like the expression. It's more like original. So same like with a movie. You don't want to hear like a dubbed over version of a movie because it's like that's not what he was. Maybe he had a different tone when he was saying that stuff. So that's why, if you can do the subtitles, I'd recommend it. But obviously, English, you know, it's not. There's great English voice actors too. But.
You know, appreciate you guys coming here. You know, and doing the first episode of the Nighthood Podcast. You know, we had some great guests, PJ Hayes. You know, new incoming shooter that everyone will know about pretty soon, and then returning player, Big Manny, you know, excited to have him back for another year. So, you know, appreciate you guys listening to episode 1 of the Nighthood Podcast, and, you know, hope you guys enjoyed.